5 seconds to go. We'll see if KU takes one final shot. Bobby Pettifer, put it up, buddy. Might be your only chance. He launches. He misses off the back iron on a fading left wing three. And that is your ball game. You can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks win 86-60, 32 in a row in exhibition play.
We did some good things. We guarded fairly well the first half. We did, you know, they get weight. They, you know, good teams are, if you give them, let them get that close to the hole, they'll shoot a much higher percentage against us. But I think there's, it'll be a good teaching tape, and I don't know that we're ready to play, but it should certainly help prepare us for Tuesday.
Bill Self, KU men's basketball debuts last night in front of fans again, which is pretty nice. And KU beats Emporia State exhibition play 86-60, led 51-25. At halftime, former Arizona State Sun Devil Remy Martin did not start. Bill Self already sending a message to his star transfer. Connor Tehan actually got to start last night. I did the double take. I'm like, wow, interesting. But it was exhibition game. Remy Martin, 15 points, 4 assists, 1 turnover, 18 minutes. And Coach Self needed energy from his team. He's been talking about defense, of course, so he didn't think his team's really close to where he wants it to be defensively. But they made some shots last night. This team's definitely better offensively than they were last year. They're a deeper team than last year, no question. And saw some good things, but it was also exhibition. It was Emporia State. Learned a lot more about KU coming up on Tuesday. Champions Classic, when KU will take on Michigan State with pregame on Tuesday at 5:30 on your home for the Jayhawks, North Central Kansas City, 96.3 Lake. That's coming up next Tuesday. K-State will open up exhibition play tonight against Pittsburgh State against Maya Gorillas. That'll be at 7 o'clock tonight at Bramlage, and that is the first game of the year for K-State. But once again, that is an exhibition. All right, local sports. We got some volleyball players made All-State tourney teams. No surprise there.
Yeah, All-State tourney teams and a lot of volleyball players that are athletes of the week as well. And I'm going to start with that and lead into KVA All-State volleyball. Members of the Smith Center Lady Red volleyball team have been named the NCKSSports.com County Game Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. Smith Center Volleyball winning their first ever state championship Saturday, taking the Class 2A title in Dodge City. The Lady Red won all five of their pool play or five of their matches in straight sets, picking up pool play wins over Pittsburgh, Colgan, Wabunsee, and Hillsboro on Friday. Then came back Saturday in the semis, a straight set win over Ellenwood. And then for the second time in the tournament, they played Hillsboro and beat them in the championship match 25-23 and 25-12. Coach Nick Lynn's Smith Center Lady Red team finished with a record of 43-2. And after falling the bullet in the championship of the Concordia Invitational back on October 2nd, they won their last 17 matches, not losing a set the rest of the season. So for their efforts, Talon Rentschler, Ashlyn Long, and Cameron Hutchinson were named to the KVA All-State Tournament team in 2A. For Long, it was the second straight year she was named to the team. For Rentschler, she's been chosen All-State Tournament 3 years in a row. And those three were selected in Class 2A and part of our our Athletes of the Week from Cunningham Telephone and Cable and NCKSSports.com. The other All-State Tournament team selections from the area by the Kansas Volleyball Association in Class 3A, Miley Brown and Addison Budke of Beloit were selected. And in 1A Division I, Bailey Cunningham of Lakeside was chosen to the All-State Tournament team. You can find a full list of those teams at NCKSSports.com. Also, coming up here tonight, we'll have our final high school football locker room chats as we'll be joined by the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas for the final time this season to recap their seasons here in 2021. So stay tuned for that. That'll be around 5:10 to 5:15 when it starts tonight on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. If you missed last night's Wednesday locker room chats, you can also go back and listen on our locker room chat podcast at KDCountry94.com. Again, high school football coming up on Friday night for area teams as we will have coverage coverage beginning at 5:30 on Friday night on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. The 8-man Division II regional playoff as Thunder Ridge is hosting Frankfort. Kickoff will be at 6 o'clock on KD Country 94. Then on Z96 Point Through the Lake, also online video stream of the Bullet Trojan channel at NCKSSports.com Friday night. It is Beloit at Cimarron. Pregame coverage 6:30, kickoff 7 o'clock. Wade and Todd will have the call on that one. And again, you can catch those all on the online audio at kdcountry94.com. Other games on Friday night of note in immediate area. Remington is at Smith Center in the 1A regional playoff, and Concordia is at Riley County in 3A regional playoff action. So full brackets and everything you need to know about state football playoffs are also posted at NCKSSports.com. So high school football coming your way on Friday night.
All right. Look forward to all that. You let everybody know the locker room chats for tonight? All right. The last week of the football locker room chats, and then we'll have basketball locker room chats and wrestling locker room chats when we get into the winter sports season. More details have emerged about Henry Ruggs and his drunk driving accident, and it's not good. It was already bad. The woman that was killed was identified as Tina O. Tintner, age 23, Las Vegas. According to police, her dog was also killed in the accident. According to prosecutors, they say that Henry Ruggs was driving at a speed of 156 miles per hour when he rear-ended another car. Once he hit the car, he's going 127. Prosecutors say Ruggs, who up until Tuesday was a wide receiver for the Vegas Raiders, who of course released him, was driving with a blood alcohol content twice Nevada's legal limit. Police said that Ruggs showed signs of impairment at the scene. According to court records reviewed by NPR, Ruggs, 22, is facing charges of driving under influence, causing death, or substantial bodily injury and reckless driving, both felonies. They also had a loaded gun in the back of the car as well that he can be charged with. The Raiders released him following news of the crash just hours before he was set to face his first court appearance. He was released on $150,000 bail, but has been told not to be doing any kind of drinking and to stay close, or there will be bigger consequences for him. The accident happened on Tuesday morning at 3:39 when he rear-ended a Toyota RAV4, punctured the fuel tank, causing the car to catch on fire. According to some reports, the woman was desperately trying to get out of the car, but unfortunately, she could not unbuckle her seatbelt. So Henry Ruggs couldn't deal with a lot of this. He's going to have to deal with this the rest of his life, as we talked about yesterday. And we now know the victim, who was just innocently driving down the road. She lived several blocks from that area. So in the area where she lived, probably going home, or who knows what might have been going on. Don't know exactly what she did for a living, nor does it matter. Innocent victim in this whole thing. And we'll continue to follow that story. Thursday night NFL football is this evening, because it's Thursday. It is the Jets and the Colts in Indianapolis. Colts 3-5, the Jets 2-5. That's on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon. That's at 7:20 this evening. Of course, the Chiefs have their marquee matchup with the Green Bay Packers, but it's not as marquee as we'd like, or maybe that's what we want as Chiefs fans. I don't know. I want to see the best versus the best, and I think the Chiefs could have beat the Packers. I saw Todd. Todd is a Dolphins fan, but he knows a lot about the Chiefs. And he said, he put on Facebook, oh, now it's a winnable game because it was an automatic loss. Okay, this is someone that doesn't know Chiefs history or Chiefs football or Packer Chiefs history, but I'll go back, and I can't remember exactly what year it was. The Green Bay Packers came in undefeated, and Romeo Crennel was the head coach of the Chiefs. And if I remember right, Kyle Orton was the quarterback for the Chiefs. The Chiefs were horrendous that year. They were playing out the string. The Packers were undefeated, and nobody gave the Chiefs a chance, and the Chiefs won that game, and it wasn't even that close. And the Chiefs beat the Packers, and yes, Aaron Rodgers played in that game. So if the Chiefs can beat the Packers, who were undefeated at that time with Aaron Rodgers in his prime, and Romeo Crennel was a coach and Kyle Orton was a quarterback, why is it an automatic loss when Patrick Mahomes your quarterback and Andy Reid your coach? And the Chiefs are 4-4 and still have one of the best offenses in the National Football League. They just got to figure some things out. It is interesting how folks don't understand or remember history or don't know history when it comes to those types of things. And that's just an example. And I'm picking on Todd because Todd is a Dolphins fan. He's not a Chiefs fan, okay? And so you can leave the Chiefs information. You can leave that to us Chiefs fans because we know our team. You know, we don't talk about the Dolphins because they suck. Okay, that's the main reason. But if we did, we're not going to say that we know everything about the Dolphins. And I'm not going to say the Dolphins are automatic loss. I'm sure people thought the Dolphins were automatic loss against the Bills last week. It was 3-3 at halftime. Mm-hmm. There are no automatic losses in sports. I'm sure people thought that the Jets were automatic loss against the Bengals last week after the Bengals absolutely destroyed the Baltimore Ravens. How'd that go?
Not well for the Bengals.
No, the Bengals lost. That's right. I'm sure everybody thought that the Jets were automatic loss when they played the Titans. Yeah, that's right. The Jets have beaten the Titans and the Bengals, two of the teams with the better records in the AFC, believe it or not.
Yeah.
With a guy that you've never heard of in Mike White. So if Mike White and the Jets can beat the Bengals and Joe Burrow, if Romeo Crennel and Kyle Orton can beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, why again could the Chiefs not beat the Packers if the Packers are full strength of Aaron Rodgers? Help me again with that. I mean, we see this in college football. We sit here and we go, well, there's no way this team can beat this team, and then it happens. I mean, we've got to learn from our mistakes, man. And I'm not, you know, I'm just playing with Todd a little bit because we can do that to Todd. Todd takes it well. But Todd's just an example. I mean, there are many fans that think that way. Like, well, the Chiefs have no chance against the Packers. Well, no, they have no chance if they play like they did against the Giants. I agree. But I've got this feeling that they probably won't, okay? In all of the divisional matchups they've had, they've been right there in the game except for the Titans game. They got blown out. The Bills game, they were there for a while. The Bills, you could say, eventually got away from them. But if the Chiefs cut down the turnovers, as we talked about numerous times, and that's a big if because they played eight games and maybe they are what they are, but of course they can beat the Packers. There's no automatic loss. There's no automatic loss, really, honestly, anymore. There's no automatic loss in sports at all. I mean, really, there isn't, other than, I guess, you know, if Alabama's playing Mercer, okay? Okay, I'll say that's probably an automatic loss. But these are two professional sports teams that play football and get paid for a living, and there's tons of parity in the National Football League. And if you don't believe me, look at the standings. There's tons of parity in the league. I guess the only team you could say is automatic loss would be the Lions right now. And even they should have won three games to start the year, and weird things happen. A 61-yard field, 66, was it? 66-yard field goal that doinked over, okay? Another was a 54-yard field goal at the gun. The Lions aren't as bad as their record indicates, okay? The Texans haven't won a game since week one. Like, the Texans and the Dolphins play this week. Can I just say that's an automatic loss for both teams? Because they both stink. They're both 1-7. I don't care. Because they're not going anywhere. But those two teams are horrible. Should I just assume it's a tie? I mean, yeah. You gotta let the games play out. You know, you just got to let the games play out. And the Chiefs and the Packers. Listen, I honestly think the Chiefs would have had a chance against the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. No doubt the Chiefs have a chance. The Chiefs have a chance to beat anybody in this league. When the Chiefs are right and they play well and they cut the turnovers down and the defense just gets a few stops, the Chiefs can beat anybody in the National Football League. It doesn't matter where the game is. In Kansas City, in Green Bay, on Mars. I don't care. When the Chiefs play well, which they haven't for quite some time, I understand. But if the Chiefs ever do figure this out, which I think eventually they will, the question is, will it be too late? But to sit here and say that they're automatically going to lose to the Packers, the game's not even in Lambeau. The game's at Arrowhead, for crying out loud. I mean, the Chiefs can beat anybody. Now, having said that, if the Chiefs turn the ball over four times, they can lose to anybody. There's no question about that. The defense is bad enough, they can lose to about anybody. They almost lost to the Giants, who aren't very good because of a ton of injuries. But we gotta eventually learn, don't we, in sports, that there is no such thing, especially with a situation like this where it's an automatic loss. I mean, let's choose our words a little bit more carefully. That's like something that Stephen A. Smith would say on TV to be a shock jock to get your attention by saying something like that. And it's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. And if you think it's an automatic loss, here's what I challenge anybody that thinks it's an automatic loss. I challenge you to put a whole bunch of money on this game. If it's an automatic loss, why in the hell are you not putting all your money on it?
Yeah.
If it's an automatic loss, why aren't you mortgaging that, putting the mortgage, all your savings? I mean, this is the easiest thing ever. It's an automatic loss. You just put all your money on it. I mean, why aren't people doing that? That's funny, because they don't believe what they say. I mean, no, it's not an automatic loss. No way. Jose, okay? And here's the thing. I think Packer fans are now thinking it's an automatic loss because Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play. Honestly,
yeah.
There are some Packer fans that think this game is over before it starts because they don't have Aaron Rodgers. And it's in Kansas City. And I'm going to tell you, there's no film on Jordan Love. And there was no film on Justin Herbert the first time the Chiefs saw him last year, his first game ever, and he did pretty good against the Chiefs. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Chiefs are going to win this game for sure. I'm not going to tell you the Chiefs aren't going to win, and I would have never told you they can't win when Aaron Rodgers is healthy and ready to go. No way, Jose. But Jordan Love, no, we don't know anything about this kid. We don't know if he's any good or not. We're going to find out Sunday, and a lot of Chiefs fans, I think now suddenly it's an automatic win. And I'm going to tell you no. I can see Jordan Love lighting this team up for 350 yards and running for two touchdowns because he's a mobile quarterback, more mobile than even Rodgers. They're going to have different packages that the Chiefs are not going to have seen on film. They're not going to have any way of knowing or preparing for it. That can be a problem. Now, granted, a problem could have been Aaron Rodgers putting the ball in the tight window like he always does, and Jordan Love might not be able to do that. This is a very, very...
do you need tight windows when you're playing the Chiefs?
Not really. Not when Sorensen's out there, no. Did you see Aaron Jones yesterday with his press conference? He said, the Chiefs have a great defense. That's what he first said, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then he said they've got a great safety and they've got two guys that can really rush off the end. And then he mentioned Sorensen by name, and they move 49 around a lot, Sorensen. That, he didn't name Matthew Clark or Jones, mm-hmm. but he named Sorensen. I'm like, he might have tipped his hand just a hair. Of course, why wouldn't you? Quarterbacks have a perfect rating against Daniel Sorensen this year. A perfect quarterback rating. Are you kidding me? It's crazy. Crazy stuff. So let's just slow down with all the hyperbole in regards to saying guaranteed loss, automatic loss, guaranteed win. Trust me, folks. There is no such thing in the National Football League. There isn't anymore. And there hasn't been for quite some time. All right? There's a lot of parity. I mean, for crying out loud, did anybody put a lot of money on the Braves to win the World Series? Seriously. No. Probably back when the Braves were 52 and 55, Braves fans were like, we're toast. How about the Royals back in 2014? They were 48 and 50. 48 and 50. All of a sudden, they had a great second half, went to Game 7 of the World Series. You just got to not jump off the cliff prematurely here, people. You've got to give it a chance. I mean, the Chiefs were 6 and 4 when they won the Super Bowl. They're 4 and 4 now. We see every single year in sports, a team that wins it, well, there was a very tough time where they could have easily gone the opposite direction and something changed their season and they got hot. It could easily happen to the Chiefs. I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying it easily could. With the talent on this team, there's no doubt. If Andy Reid figures out running the ball more often, taking some pressure off Mahomes, and the Chiefs actually take advantage of the short passes, that eventually will cause defenses to what? Adjust. Yeah. And once they adjust and they bring one safety deeper, maybe even in the box, now suddenly the vertical game opens up again. If Patrick Mahomes can learn to stay in the pocket when he has a good pocket, that will improve the offense. Okay? You got Willie Gay and Nick Bolton now starting to make some plays. You got Juan Thornhill in the lineup. You got younger, more athletic guys instead of some others. Now you might be able to get, you know, more turnovers like you saw with Willie Gay with athletic interception against Daniel Jones and the Giants. So there's reason to think that the Chiefs can turn things around. The thing that keeps you from saying it is the defense still isn't great, and the offense keeps turning the ball over. But there, I mean, it's up to the Chiefs and Andy Reid to turn around this season, and I think they can. I don't know if they will, but there's no doubt they're smart enough to do it. Mm-hmm. We'll just see if they can actually execute it and pull it off. All right, big news yesterday, Oklahoma State. They put it off, they appealed, and they were able to get Cade Cunningham to play an NCAA tournament last year. He's number one draft pick in the NBA with the Pistons this year. You got to listen to this. The NCAA yesterday, why now? Good question. Basketball season just now starting, and they've had all this time to figure out what to do with Oklahoma State. They put them on a postseason ban for 2022. So this year, there's no Big 12. They can't even play in the Big 12 tournament, Oklahoma State. And they can't play in the NCAA tournament. The Cowboys did have a former assistant who undeniably broke NCAA rules, not to mention federal laws. But that said, it sure feels like a deal where the punishment levied by the NCAA doesn't fit the crime. Give the Cowboys anything short of a postseason ban, and one person wrote, I don't think I'd even blink. Whatever. But to rip away a dream from a program so close to the start of a season because of rules that were broken 5 years ago by a former assistant who created no competitive advantage for Oklahoma State seems excessive. The FBI caught former Oklahoma State assistant Lamont Evans accepting at least $18,000 in bribes to steer players at both Oklahoma State and his previous school, South Carolina, to certain agents and financial advisors. But there's no evidence that he bought recruits. There's no evidence that he paid student-athletes to remain in school. The only players known to have ever received anything from Evans is Jeffrey Carroll, which was $300 that he paid back. Carroll then served a 3-game suspension for that transgression during the 18-19 basketball season. Similar illegal acts have happened at both South Carolina and USC, and they have not resulted in postseason bans at either school. Here's Mike Boynton on the investigation. This is a man that is ticked off, and it sounds rightfully so.
Their dreams of playing the NCAA tournament this year couldn't be realized. And that's shameful. And there's no wonder that nobody trusts them, because they get to hide behind letters. COI, and IAF, and they don't have to come and do this and answer questions and talk to kids and talk to parents. And so the message is clear, because we had a $300 violation, no failure to monitor, no lack of institutional control, no recruiting violation. No head coach responsibility. No players playing ineligible. So if you got some of those things going on, don't do what we did. What we did was we asked them that we work with them through this process. On January 20th of 2020, I flew to Atlanta to do the first round of this process with the NCAA. The next day, we played OU here. It was important that I be there. I went to Atlanta for no reason to cooperate with them, to cooperate with John Duncan and Sharika Montgomery and Russell Register. And then this year, on February 7th, while in Lawrence, Kansas, for a game, the day we played, we had an appeal hearing. And we cooperated. And we showed up. And we'd answer their questions. And we provided all the information they asked. So if you're one of those other schools, be careful what they ask you for.
The message is simple. Don't cooperate with NCAA because you're going to get punished even more if you do cooperate and do the right thing. And it's ridiculous to have appeal hearings on the day of a basketball game, for crying out loud, like they did to him. Okay, so then later on yesterday, Jeff Goodman, who covers college basketball, has a podcast, and he had Mike Boynton, the head coach of Oklahoma State, on his show, and listen to this conversation. I think it's pretty good.
These kids should basically have a chance to if you're going to uphold the postseason ban, decide where they're going to go. Now they have no choice. They're stuck there. They came there thinking a lot of them, most of them, that they were going to be able to play in the NCAA tournament. Now they cannot, and they can't really transfer anywhere else and play. To me, that's another component, again, a secondary component to this whole thing of how the NCAA can screw it up. Because once you make a decision, you should have to do it if you're the NCAA before the start of classes.
Yeah, it's a travesty. And again, they'll say, you know, we think about the welfare and experience of student athletes. Well, there's no way that those two things can exist at the same time. You can't make this decision at this time. And mind you, our appeal was heard on February 7th, 9 months ago.
And what more info did they get over those 9 months?
None.
None.
In fact, they didn't say anything different other than we disagree with the school that this should be overturned. Okay. You could have said that on February 17th or March 17th. Or even let's just say you need to want to get through last season. It was in the middle of COVID. But sometime this summer, give these kids a chance to make a choice on whether they wanted to be at Oklahoma State.
It's just laughable. It's embarrassing. The NCAA is a joke of an institution. They talk about and they hide behind the baloney that is, we were all about the student athlete. We care about their welfare. No, they don't. Because if they did, they had this information February 7th. They could have. Why can't you make a decision within 24 hours, let alone waiting 9 months and waiting till right before the season starts? It seems vindictive. It seems wrong. And Oklahoma State hasn't done anything nearly as bad as a lot of institutions. Mm-hmm. And you notice that KU hasn't exactly cooperated with NCAA very well. You know why? Because that's exactly they actually, honestly, Oklahoma State, they're getting punished for not playing the game the right way, and that is don't cooperate.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous, and it's a joke. And guess who gets left being punished? Not the guy that took the 300 while he got three-game suspension. Lamont Evans is going to deal with it, but this current coaching staff had nothing to do with this. Mike Boynton had nothing to do with it. His kids had nothing to do with it. And so you wait 9 months until now they really can't leave. They're stuck. And now they can't play in the postseason. They can't play in the Big 12 tournament. And so why couldn't they, as they just said, you had the hearing on February 7th. That's the last time they met and did anything. Why couldn't you let them know March 1st, April 1st, even June 1st, that, hey, you're going to be banned from postseason play, okay? No, they wait till November. There is no good reason to do that unless you're vindictive for some reason. And if you are, then that if you care about student-athletes and their well-being and then their best welfare, then you're absolutely completely doing the opposite of what you say, and that's what the NCAA does. They slap the big boys with the slap on the wrist if you're lucky, that's what they do. Usually they skate free. And then the mid-major or smaller institutions, I'm going to say it's not a mid-major. I know they're a Power 5, but they're not KU basketball, okay? And they seem to get punished worse than South Carolina, USC. And it's mind-boggling, but it is what it is. I'm not surprised at all because that's what the NCAA is a joke of an institution. And here's what happens. I'll give you four examples. Larry Brown, violations, left. KU was left holding the bag, not Larry Brown. He got a big contract to go coach NBA. I can't read my writing. What was the other one I had here? Oh, Pete Carroll, hey, that's USC. He goes to Seattle, no problem. USC's left holding the bag. John Calipari, hey, Memphis, congrats. You made the national championship game. Now your banner's being stripped and everything else. And John Calipari left not once but twice from institutions that had violations. He doesn't get slapped. I mean, nothing happens to John Calipari. And Lane Kiffin, there are violations where he was too. He just keeps getting job after job and money after money. And the guys that get punished are the kids that weren't even here that were in high school when these things happen. It's just pathetic.
There's so much about it that is just not understandable. It's like if you were like getting in trouble for money laundering at a job you had, and then they just punish the business and not the actual person that did
yes,
it. You know,
that's about the
So you move on, you're with your life, nothing happened to you. Hey, but this business made a mistake here by letting that person work for
them. Yeah, right. Right.
You know, right. Like they had nothing to do with it. They didn't know this was going under the table, and they're the ones that get in trouble. It's none of it makes sense. Like, there's nothing about what the NCAA does, hardly ever, that makes sense. And I can't get it to add up in my mind, and I don't think anybody really can.
Listen, I applaud Mike Boynton. He cares about his kids. He cares about the program. And he's absolutely letting everybody know and letting them see behind the curtain that this is how it was handled. And the fact that they have hearings the day before he's at a game and has got to leave the day of Oklahoma State and Oklahoma Bedlam, the day before they want to have a hearing, he's got to fly to Atlanta at the last moment. That, they don't give him weeks in advance. So he flies there, and he said it was not even worth my time. Then he comes back, and then the day of a KU game, he's got to meet with these people. Yeah. It's just flat out. It's like they're treating him like he's the one that's guilty and did it, and he didn't.
Yeah.
It's the NCAA. What do you expect?